Tilehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetilehurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tilehurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, March 11th, 2016. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetilehurstend.com, and thank you very much once again for hitting that download button and giving us your time this morning, this afternoon, or whenever you're listening to us. I'm delighted to be joined once again by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello.
Dan, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, not so bad. I am nervous. I am one nervous man.
The day has arrived.
Yeah, I envy you in this situation. You've got the emotional investment, but not to the degree that I'm sitting here and 20,000 other Reading fans will be later on this evening.
I know. I think for you as well, it's a little bit extra considering what you went through last year and missing the big day at Wembley.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a rant at the end of the main edition of the show on Monday about why I don't think this is going to be Reading's night. I think I'm destined. So I would like people to prove that the universe does not revolve around me. That would be highly great, and I would be happy to take that if we make the semi-finals on tonight. It's game day. But the big question is, coming out of the past couple of games, that 2-2 draw with Fulham and then the 3-1 defeat at Huddersfield, the big questions here is who's fit and who's not?
Well, most are fit, to be honest. I mean, the big doubt is kind of over Vidra, but that seems to be more of a doubt over whether he's going to be fit enough to start or if he's going to be on the bench. I think he's certainly going to be involved. But Brian said he's going to make a late call whether he's fit enough to start. It's an interesting one. I mean, he hasn't played since that sort of cameo off the bench against West Brom. It's a long time now. It's looked good 3 weeks. Can he really be thrown straight back into the starting lineup? And also, is he the right man to sort of lead a line in the way that Brian sets his teams up at the moment? Obviously, you've got the one man up front, which is Jan Kermigan normally. Can Matthew Vidra play that role? Steve Clark never thought he could. So it'll be interesting if he does that. I just think you look back to that West Brom game and think he threw a surprise in there, didn't he? Out of nowhere, Simon Cox suddenly started just to give Redden a little bit of presence in that central striking role. And it would not surprise me at all to see Cox start tonight.
Wow. Talk about good ways to make your only two Reading starts of the year in the fifth and the sixth round of the FA Cup.
Yeah. I mean, it's me just guessing. I haven't been given a clue or anything like that by Brian, but it just makes you think, obviously, it was so out of the blue against West Brom, wasn't it, that he threw him in there. No one was expecting it. So he had a game plan. He knew how he wanted to work. He was going to play Cox for an hour, then bring on Vidra, bring on Rackles for the last half hour, and it worked a treat, didn't it? And so I wouldn't at all surprise me to see him set up a similar way and really have sort of his substitutions in mind when they're going to bring on, hopefully when the defence is tired a little bit, and then suddenly you bring on the movement of Rackles, you bring on the mood of Vidra when the defence maybe have tired a little bit.
Yeah, the two other big names, the concerns coming out of that Fulham game, Paul McShane, who missed that match, he didn't start, Anton Fernand came in, and Hal Robson-Knoo, who had to leave the game at half-time. How are both of those looking?
Both fit, but barring anything that's happened in the last 24 hours since I spoke to Brian yesterday morning, and they're both fit and both ready to go. They've been training all week. Didn't travel up to Huddersfield, obviously. Stayed here, got more training in the end of their legs, and now they're both fit to go.
Excellent stuff. So Aaron Tischbowler, the only other confirmed absentee, obviously he's out till basically the end of the season. So
Periscope star Aaron Tischbowler. Did you see some of his Periscope
yesterday
from the training ground? Very interesting.
No. Oh, there you go. Well, at least he's back and involved.
Yes, it was behind the scenes at Hogwood yesterday, seeing a close-up view of Michael Hector getting a haircut in the changing rooms, getting ready for the big day.
Okay. Well, while we might not then have too many physical scars from those couple of games, what do you think about the psychology involved? Because, you know, it's three games for Reading now. They won at Charlton. They squeezed a win up at Charlton in 4-3. Then they draw 2-0 with Fulham and then lose 3-1 at Huddersfield. My concern there is that the defensive suddenly leaked 8 goals in 3 games against 3 lower half championship sides. Is that anything that concerns you going into this game tonight?
I don't know. Tonight's a one-off game. It really is. I mean, you looked at how well they played against West Brom with that defence, and shut them out relatively comfortably. So it doesn't really concern me. It certainly concerns me in terms of the bigger picture, but not so much about tonight. I think tonight's a one-off game against a Premier League side. You're going to have a full crowd under the lights. I think everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks, that's all out the window for this one. We saw that last season as well, in the cup game, sort of the league form went out the window. So no, it doesn't really concern me. Obviously, McShane's coming back. That's going to be a big help, barring the random second half at Charlton. McShane and Cooper have played very well. In fact, they've never lost a game starting together, those two. which is a good sign.
I was going to say, a lot of fans have suggested that maybe you pair up Anton and McShane for the experience factor tonight. You would bring Cooper and McShane in?
I think it'll be Cooper and McShane. I think that's Brighton's partnership now. I think he's settled on that. Like I said, I don't think they've lost a game since the two of them started together. So I think that's what we'll see. It'll be that defence, obviously, with Jordan and Chris on either side, who are going to be so important tonight. I think the fullbacks are vital because Palace, look, they haven't got much threat going forward. I mean, I know they've got big names like Adebayor, but they don't score many goals. The strikers haven't scored many. Conor Wickham, who suddenly found himself scoring a few recently, is obviously injured. He's out, which is a big blow for them because he has suddenly looked like he's refound the scoring form he showed towards the end of the season with Sunderland a couple of years back. So that's good news for Reading. But the main threat from Palace is going to be set pieces with Scott Dan, people like that, but also just the wingers. You know, Balassians are electric when they're on their day. Really tough to handle. So I think the fullbacks and the midfielders who are playing in front of the fullbacks are going to have a really important job to do tonight. If Reading can keep those two quiet, I think that's going to take and nullify a massive part of the Palace attack.
What about Ola John then? He's a man who scored another cracker up at Huddersfield on Tuesday night. He's been sort of the star man in recent weeks since getting that run in the starting lineup. But will he get that chance tonight? Or is it a game where you maybe pack the midfield, you bring a Danny Williams in and stick Stephen Quinn out on the flank?
I don't know. I just think John's playing so well right now. I think it's a massive call if you leave him out. For me, I think the fact that he didn't play against Huddersfield, obviously, on Tuesday night, it was a big suggestion that he's going to start this one. And like I said, I just think he's playing too well. I just don't think, as much as you've got to worry about Crystal Palace, and you've got to also worry about attacking yourselves. And John is Reading's biggest weapon at the moment. He's playing well, he's scoring goals, he's setting goals up. And I think if you just take him out the side and concentrate too much on defence, then you're going to have trouble. You're going to be in for a long night. I think you've got to find that balance. And I think if you've got a midfield three with certainly Hector in the holding role, obviously, but Quinn just on the left of that midfield central three as well, who can drop in and cover a beater when John goes forward, I think that should be enough. So no, I'd certainly start with John.
Yeah, I sort of lean on the side of caution, but I'm just so pessimistic about this game. My entire judgment has been ridiculously clouded. It's going to be an electric night. It's going to be a sellout. It's live on the BBC as well. So if you're not there, you can tune in and watch at home or hide behind the sofa. I do envy you somewhat. The only question then remaining, Charles, is how do you see it going? What's your gut feeling?
I think Reading are going to win. I'm sticking my hat on. I'm going positive tonight. I think Reading are going to do it. I think it's going to be a great night under the lights. And I just think Reading have got some unfinished business in this competition, given how it all ended last year. And I fancy them to earn themselves another crack at Wembley.
What's the score then?
2-1.
2-1 Reading. I will stick with what I said on the main edition of the show on Monday. I think Palace are going to win this 2-0. I think they'll get ahead. Reading will try and get themselves back in the game and then get sucker punched at some stage. So
I don't think they need to panic if they go ahead either, as well, which
really
is a good
though?
Thing. Well, we said that. Me and you sat here and had this exact conversation before the West Brom game.
We did.
West Brom score, game over. And how wrong were we there?
Absolutely.
So, and Reading can come back from these. I've shown it so many times since Brian has taken over that I don't think they'll panic if they go behind. Obviously, it'll make things a lot more difficult. They don't want to fall behind. But if they do, I don't think it's panic stations. They can still come back from this. They're going to definitely have players who can come off the bench and make an impact. I think the interesting thing is who starts in that midfield three with alongside Quinn and Hector, because Ollie Norwood is, you know, who I'm a massive fan of. I think he's certainly the first, at least half of the season, he's been by far and away Reading's best player. But he has tailed off a little bit in recent weeks since Michael Hector has dropped into that holding role. And Ollie's sort of been pushed slightly more forward. It's certainly affected his game, because I think Ollie was really enjoying that holding role, and suddenly he now has to do more going forward. He's struggling a little bit, and the game's passing him by. And when you've got a player like Danny Williams sitting on the bench, who obviously likes the more advanced role in midfield, and it's a big call for Brian to make that one. Does he stick with Norwood, or does Danny come in? And Ollie Norwood, who's been such a mainstay this season and such an influential player, does he drop to the bench? It'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, the only thing I think that might save Norwood is his set pieces and those two set piece deliveries that he delivered against West Brom. Not that I'm his biggest fan, I don't think he's brilliant, especially his corners have made me tear my hair out on occasion. The amount of time he hits the first man. Ugh. But he does have that potential to whip in a great ball. And if you take him out the side, then you're asking a lot from players like Jordan Obita, who, again, hasn't shown an awful lot of consistency either. So I think that might just save him. But it's great that we've got options to talk about.
Yeah, no, certainly. Like I said, the substitute bench is going to be very important tonight. I really do think that. Certainly, if Cox does start, which, you know, again, that's just me guessing, but if he does, then you're going to look to that bench with sort of half an hour to go. If the game's still tight and you're bringing on, you know, the competition's leading goal scorer, Rackles, who's shown he can make an impact off the bench, hasn't really shown he can do much from the start yet, but he's certainly shown he can make an impact when there's some tired legs out there. So I think that is a big, really important part of tonight's game is when and who Brian brings off the bench.
OK, well, you're confident. I'm not. Our opinions are out there in the public domain. Just before we let you go as well, there is another game after this. I know it's absolutely after the Lord Mayor's show, whether Reading win or lose. They go to Brighton on Tuesday, promotion chasers. Reading's any lingering small tiny smidge of hope you had of a promote playoff chase, put that to one side. That is done now. With that,
it was done last week. It was done a long time ago.
If they'd held that lead at Fulham, though, you have to admit, if they'd held that lead at Fulham and it had gone down to, I think it would have gone down to what, 9 points with the game in hand. The door was a tiny bit ajar, but now it's gone.
It was
shut.
Not a tiny bit of joy. It was always shut.
Okay.
Well, we had this argument last week.
Well, anyway, what I was going to say is that, unfortunately, your lead in the prediction league has been slashed.
I know. I got done.
Johnny Williams has picked up 2-3 points in a row. You are now you're still top on 27. Johnny's on 24. I'm all the way back on 18. And Westy's catching me up. He's only a point behind on 17. So I could go from first. I'm a bit like Chelsea. I've gone from winning the league to being nowhere. So I was cruising.
I had the champion's hat on already. We're just waiting to be crowned. I can't believe it.
You were 8 points clear at one stage.
I know.
Now it's down to three. So
Newcastle back in 97 or whenever it was.
Absolutely.
Man United chasing.
Yeah, I can just see. Just as long as you don't start shouting, I'll love it when I beat Johnny.
Yeah.
Just keep me cool.
I will keep my cool. I went no mind games.
So you've still got the best part of 10 games to go. Do you want to give your Brighton prediction now, or do you want to see how the cup game goes?
No, I want to see how the cup game goes. It's important now. I can't. I've got to work on this one. So
just very quickly though, if Reading do go out tomorrow, does Brian go straight into rebuild 2016-17 mode, starting with Brighton, or does he still have to finish the season as strongly as possible?
It depends. What do you mean by 2016?
Well, as in, does he sort of say to the players that are out of contract, I'm going to have to push you to the fringes, the likes of Hal Robson, Canoe, Anton Ferdinand, players like that, bring in more players like George Evans, some of the younger players like Afosu. Does he sort of say, well, points aren't as important as performances?
I don't think he'd do that massively. I think he might do that with some, not wholesale, but I think it's really important you end the season well, just for momentum-wise. I speak to Jan Kermigan about it, and he's, you know, when he joined Bournemouth, I think that was 17th, and they ended up finishing 10th that season and had a really good, because he joined in January, and had a really good end to the season. They just went into the summer feeling good about themselves and then went on and won the league the next season. So he's adamant that if you finish the season well, it's going to put you sort of stand you in really good stead for the following season. So no, I don't think they should. I don't think it should make wholesale changes. I think certainly you'd start trying to bed in players like Evans, who we haven't really seen much of, and people like that. Maybe give Jack Stacey more of a go. People like that, but no, I don't think. I think we'd certainly still be seeing Hal till the end of the season. I mean, they're paying him, aren't they? So they may as well use him.
Yeah, very true. Okay, that's it. Talking's over. It's time to see if the team can do the business on the pitch. Charles, thank you very, very much for joining me as always. And how's the training going?
Yes, going well. I was going to try and do one this morning, actually. I was going to, before I got to the office, but I just got so much to do that I didn't have time to get up. I did 8.3 miles on Tuesday, and I've got the target of a 10 miler on Sunday. So if I can get through that, and then I'll be very happy and feeling quite good about myself. Although obviously I have a baby about to hit any moment now, which I'm just hoping doesn't happen in the next 10 hours.
What are you more nervous about, the run or the second one?
I think I'm actually more nervous about the run just because the second one's coming, and I just know that I'm going to have like 2 weeks of no sleep, which isn't preparation for a run, and my training is going to really get hampered. So I'm kind of worried about that more at the moment, but I just don't want the baby to come today. I'm just been saying to Michelle, like, this morning before I left the house, I was like, if you can just make sure after the game's finished, fine, but just I really want to watch this game, so can you please hold on just for another 24 hours at least?
No, surely you want to say just as long as it arrives before Wembley.
It'll certainly arrive. Well, I think the semi-finals, I was looking at dates, it's like right at the end of Wembley, it's about April the 24th something like that. So, yeah, we've got a fair wait now for that. So, yeah, that won't be an issue.
Excellent. Right, well, as I said, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. You can follow Charles on Twitter at Charles_Watson. There'll be plenty of content analysis up on getrunning.co.uk, as there is on thetirelessend.com and on this very podcast stream as well. If you haven't checked out the two-part interview we've done with Joel Hufford, former BBC Radio Berkshire head of sport, is very much worth your listening. Also, I recorded an interview with Archie Lovell last night as well, speaking of Wembley. We did touch on that infamous penalty miss, so that'll be going up in the next week or so. But in the meantime, Charles, hopefully we'll be speaking next Friday where we can plot our tube routes.
Exactly, yes. Enjoy the game.
And you. Right, take it easy and we'll speak soon.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter.
At the Tarlhurst End.
And facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.